Canines for Christ is an international, Christian-based, animal-assisted therapy ministry that uses ordinary people and their beloved dogs to share God's message of love, hope, kindness, and compassion to the community. Canines for Christ chaplains and volunteers go to places such as cancer centers, grief centers, children's hospitals, Hope Lodge for the American Cancer Center, nursing homes, veterans hospitals, hospice facilities, special needs facilities for the mentally and physically disabled, home visits, prisons, 9/11 centers, disaster response, and so many other places. Stay tuned for my conversation with Chaplain Ron Leonard in this episode of Soaring Eagle Radio.
Remember that your failure to be informed does not make me a wacko.
The time has come, the walrus said, to talk of other things. Of shoes and ships and sealing wax and cabbages and kings.
My mind doesn't work that way. I got this real moron thing I do. It's called thinking. And I'm not a very good American because I like to form my own opinions. I have certain rules I live by. My first rule, I don't believe anything the government tells me. And I don't take very seriously the media or the press in this country.
Toto, I have a feeling we're not in Kansas anymore.
Nine most terrifying words in the English language are, I'm from the government and I'm here to help.
This is your last chance. After this, there is no turning back. You take the blue pill. The story ends. You wake up in your bed and believe whatever you want to believe. You take the red pill. You stay in Wonderland. And I show you how deep the rabbit hole goes.
Hello, and welcome to Soaring Eagle Radio. Your host is Mike Spaulding. Get ready to be challenged and encouraged as you consider today's news and Mike's commentary from a biblical perspective. Now, let's join Mike.
Hi, folks. Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Soaring Eagle Radio. You can listen to us on Global Star Radio Network, that's gsradio.net, on Worldview Weekend Radio, worldviewweekend.com/radio, Talk America Radio, that's talkamericaradio.us. We're on The Objective on Spreaker, the Prepper Broadcasting Network, and of course we're on iTunes, Stitcher, and our flagship website, SoaringEagleRadio.com. Chaplain Ron Leonard, thank you for joining me today on Soaring Eagle Radio.
Wow, it's good to be here.
Well, Ron, I've been looking forward to this conversation. We've tweeted back and forth a lot over the last several months, and I got to know you by seeing some of your tweets and, of course, going to your website. And I wonder if you just give that website for our listeners right off the bat, so perhaps they'll just bring that up as they're listening to us. What is your website?
Yeah, www.9forchrist.org. That's www.k9forchrist.org, and that'll take them right to the site, and they can. It's a very user-friendly site, so they can go and really be able to go and just dive into it.
Yes, it is very user-friendly. So, folks, I would encourage you to go do that even now as you're listening. But Ron, let's start today by introducing our listeners to who you are. We had a chance to chat before we went on the air and had a great time. We've got a lot in common, but just who you are and the story of how you became acquainted with Canines for Christ.
Sure, that sounds wonderful. Well, I had retired military back in 2004. I was served 10 years in the Navy and 10 years in the Army National Guard, and then I retired from that. We had just, Marilyn and I were really dog lovers. We got married later in life. I was 37, she was 36. We met at the late Dr. Adrian Rogers Church in Memphis, got married and moved to Nashville with her job at Lifeway, and we had a dog named Gabby. And Gabby was just a wonderful, wonderful dog to us. Never would be a therapy dog, but Gabby was just a great dog. Well, at 12, 13 years old, Gabby died. And we just realized that with me working from home in ministry that we really needed another dog. So we got a dog named Molly. Molly is a rescue that was left out in 18-degree weather to die with her mom. And somebody found her and found her mom. And her mom was adopted up in New York, and Molly and her and her brothers and sisters were adopted around the country. And once we saw Molly, we fell in love with Molly and we adopted her. And I always love to share that story, brother, because I tell people that as we adopted Molly from certain death, Jesus Christ stepped out of heaven and adopted us from certain death. We were on our way to, on a fast track to a place called hell. And God adopted us through Jesus and stepped out of heaven and rescued us. So I love to share that story. But that's how I got started with Canines for Christ. I found that on the internet in 2011. And after that, as they would say, the rest is history.
Yes, yes. And Canines for Christ was started, if I recall, Ron, it was started back around 2007. Is that right?
Yeah, just about 2007. Now, we found it in about 2010, but Larry Randolph, chaplain, Larry is a rapid response chaplain for the Billy Graham Association, and had come to know Christ and was just really excited about serving the Lord, and the Lord asked him to start a therapy dog ministry when he was sitting in church one day, and Larry said, "Lord, I don't have a dog." God said, "I didn't ask you all that. I asked you to start a therapy dog ministry." And so Larry said, "Okay, God." And so he borrowed his sister's dog. Now they've got Gracie, who is 7 years old. And they borrowed their sister's dog and started the ministry. And just obedient to God with just one volunteer, one borrowed dog, and his wife, now we have 750 volunteers in 29 states and 3 foreign countries. We just last year had a couple in Lithuania that actually started the ministry, and we were able to translate the vest into Lithuania. So that was a lot of fun.
Wow. So in 10 short years, this ministry has grown. You said 700, over 700?
Well, 750 volunteers. I'm so used to saying 700. It actually is 750. And Larry just told me today on the phone that we're approaching 800 at this point.
That's amazing. And folks, if you're interested in where there might be volunteers close to where you live, then you can also find that on the website. Canines for Christ, K9forChrist.org. You can go there and look. I was checking that out today because I was interested to see, well, I wonder if there are any close to me here in Ohio. And
there is.
There certainly are. There's that jumped out.
We have a lot up towards Cincinnati, but we have some in the central state. We have as far as Cleveland up there. Yeah, we sure do.
Yeah, there's one about 20 minutes from me, in fact. So
yeah, that's right.
So, Ron, if folks are interested, I'm sure that we've already, and we haven't really gotten into the meat of this at all, but I'm sure somebody out there is interested in joining Canines for Christ or helping, volunteering. How would they go about doing that?
They would just go to the website. They can fill out the volunteer application on the website, and it tells them, without going into all the particulars, it will tell them step-by-step how to do that. We make sure their dog is certified by the AKC, which is the American Kennel Club, which is the largest overseer unit out there. And once a dog is certified by that, then Larry takes them step-by-step. We have them fill out a commitment form to say that they will honor the ministry, they'll honor our doctrinal covenant, they'll, you know, honor our, you know, they'll basically honor of being good to the dog and not being abusive and anything like that under animal cruelty laws. And we just want to make sure that people are very serious about what they take this animal, that it is a biblical responsibility. As the book of Proverbs says, how you treat your beast is basically what your character is. So God takes it very, very seriously. And so we have them do that, and then they become a Canine for Christ volunteer. All our dogs are covered by $1 million liability insurance. Thank the Lord, we've never had to use it, but it is there. And Larry made sure that he put that in place about 4 years ago.
Yes, very good. So there you have it, folks. You can go to the website, caninesforchrist.org. All that information that Ron just shared is there. Again, the letter K, 9. ForChrist.org. You can go there and get all of that information. So, Ron, I know without asking this question that you've had a lot of very humbling experiences working with your wife Marilyn and your dog ministering to people, and I'd wonder if you'd share some of those stories.
Yeah, sure, I would love to. We just really love to share the what I call God stories, and it's just really true. We had one with Molly, which was about probably 4.5 years ago at a place called Signature Healthcare. And this lady was bedridden and couldn't get up, couldn't move. And she said, oh, I wish Molly would say hi to me. And Molly has not done this since. But Molly, without me being able to stop her, she jumped into the empty part of her bed and crawled up to her and started licking her on her face. And I think God whispered to that little dog's ear, you know. And then we had another God story, which is not about Molly, but it's about Gracie that I just heard the other day. This lady was in hospice, knew the Lord. She knew she was going to go be with Jesus. She was securing her salvation. And Gracie all of a sudden got into the room, and Gracie's not done this since, stopped and just stared straight into the sky for about 2 minutes. Mm. And then all of a sudden crawled up to the lady and laid beside her till she went to be with Jesus.
Wow.
And I think, again, God could have maybe peeled the heavens to show, you know, that we don't know what happens in the spiritual realm,
right. Yes.
But if you've been a Christian long enough, you know it's real.
That's right.
So,
yes. That's right.
Yeah, you know, you could be a Christian for 5 minutes and know it's real. I always share with people with their dogs, and people love this with our volunteers. We have a lot of people that come to know Christ, and they're a little timid of sharing their faith. And it depends on personalities, Pastor. You've been
sure.
through that
yeah.
before,
yeah.
where people just had personalities. But when they get that dog involved, they just know, they let the dog do the work, and then all of a sudden, 6 months from now, they'll call me and say, I'm sharing my faith every day. I'm sharing my faith every day, because they're allowing the dog to do the work, and it just opens the doors for the gospel. So you remember the Calvary Chapel group called Love? I've forgotten the name of the group, Chuck Girard and them.
Love Song.
Yeah, Love Song. You know, they used to just say, let's throw out the net and see what God does.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what they do. I love what Henry Blackaby once said as experiencing God. He said, get involved with what God is already doing.
Yes.
And just let him use you in that. And that's what we're telling people. Get
yes.
involved with your dog that you're already loving,
yes.
and God will open the doors to share the gospel.
Yes. Well, speaking of Henry Blackaby, you mentioned experiencing God. I went through that study a couple of times and
sure.
shared, folks, just for listeners' sake, Ron and I have a similar background and appreciate similar things, But one of the things that I remember about Blackaby, and I quote this still to today, and this was 30 years ago or more, is simply this: you cannot go with God and stay where you are.
Amen.
And that is
Amen.
So profound in on so
Amen.
Many different levels. Just allow the Lord to lead you and take you where he desires for you to go. And he's going to make the provision for that too, isn't he, Ron?
Amen. You know, it's like I told somebody once, you know, go through a door and see if God tries to stop you. And, you know, he definitely will if he doesn't want you to go through that door. So, you know, you just be obedient. I had a friend of mine tell me once, when God has your heart, he has everything else. And that's really true. You know, it really
true. So true. Any other stories that come to mind?
Wow, that's basically just the story that I have. That's really the two big ones that
yeah.
come out. But just in everyday things, God just uses Molly. This last year, God has tremendously opened up the first responder and 911 ministry
yes.
to us. We have got now about 35 volunteers across the country that regularly visit their 911 dispatchers when tragedy hits and everything like that. And so we have a tremendous open door to those first responders to move in after the fact and just be able to minister in Jesus' name there. And God really uses those dogs to calm that situation down. And you know, you've experienced it as a pastor before, you know. I mean, regardless of, you know, what people say or what's happening, in light of recent events, churches are now having to prepare
yes.
for tragedy that can happen with an active shooter, you know, and stuff like that. They're having to really, Sutherland, Texas is a good example of that. And, you know, of just having those dogs there to be able to minister in Jesus' name is such a benefit to a lot of these churches. I have pastors now call me all the time and say, how can you train my folks to use their dogs for God? So,
yes, yeah, and I appreciate you bringing that up, Ron, because that's an area that I never really gave much consideration to is our 911 dispatchers, our first responders. Think of the stress and the burden that many of them carry having to take these calls and then to coach or be emotional support for folks that are in the midst of a tragic situation.
Midst of a tragedy there. I always tell people that, you know, as a Christian, you may not believe in miracles till you need one. And it's the same way. It's the same way with a 911 operator. You may not need, you know, believe in one till you need one, you know, and everything. And so, you know, it's just one of those things. And you probably there in a smaller town where you're at have a great relationship with probably some of your first responders and some of your, you know, sheriffs and police department. And they are heaven's heroes. They're just wonderful people. They run the danger when we run away from it. So, you know, it's just amazing about how God is using this, and so we need to be able to minister to them too, you know. So.
Yes, amen, amen. You know, there's a lot of research out there too, Ron, into animal-assisted therapy. I was really surprised at how many studies have been done and the depth of the benefits. I mean, we're talking about emotional health, mental health, physical health.
Oh yeah.
And this crosses all sorts of lines, all types of people.
Sure.
The statistics suggest that just the simple act of petting animals releases sort of an automatic relaxation response.
Yeah, that's the Veterinarian Association has said that when a dog or cat, especially a dog, licks you, a happy chemical actually goes through your body, and it, you know, it relaxes you and different things like that. And it's really true. Being former military and retired military, you know, tragically, 22 vets commit suicide every day in the United States. When we find out when we get a dog involved, brother, it drops to almost zero. It drops to almost zero.
Isn't that
and,
amazing?
It's just amazing. Yeah. It's the dog that just does that. And so what we do is we have already taken a program that works in a world setting and turned it into a biblical worldview and pointing people to Christ, because I want to take them step farther. I love what Franklin Graham says once, you know, if Samaritan's purse is only going to do social work, I will close the doors tomorrow. You know, he said, we've got to share Jesus. And so that's what we do with Canines for Christ. And there's a lot of great organizations out there. I am formed. We're all at the end of the day on the same team. But I like it with our ministry that we take it one step further. We share with people. We have probably seen, I think, close to 1,000 people in 10 years saying eternal yes to Jesus Christ. And it's been neat. One story I wanted to share with you. We on our cards, on our business cards, on the back of it, we have the sinner's prayer in John 3:16. They left it in Tampa with this one lady who had stage 4 cancer, and a week later they came back to visit her, and she turned over the card and said, I've just signed my name, and I'm sending the eternal yes to Jesus Christ. And 3 weeks later, she was in heaven. So that's another God story, you know, of anything, of that door, opening that door. So if we don't get a chance to talk to him, at least we can leave the card, and the Holy Spirit can do his sweet office work at that point, you know, and everything. So it's just kind of neat.
Folks that are listening, I just want to encourage you to do some research on this animal assisted therapy. I'm just amazed at how God's creation, something as loving and adorable as a dog, as a pet, can bring about so many positive reactions to people who are suffering physically or emotionally. It can bring them right out of that. I mean, I've even read about children with autism, Ron, that therapy dogs have been used for children with autism. And it really helps them to form a deep bond.
It does. It does it with Down syndrome children and everything. I mean, it's kind of the same thing. Yeah, it really helps. It really does.
Yeah. And you mentioned working with veterans groups and the tragic statistic of the number of suicides. Veterans are especially in need of assistance, somebody to come alongside of them and offer
sure.
some
hope. Yeah, it's a thing. You probably have some in there in your area, even with veterans and everything like that. And they just, you know, they need that assistance to come along. And, you know, PTSD is a real issue. It's a real issue that affects not only unbelievers, but it affects believers at the same time. It depends on what they go through and everything. And so, yeah, it's definitely a real thing. And I, as long as we live in a fallen world, there's always going to be ministry opportunities. I kid around with a best friend of mine who's a police officer. First name is Mike. I say, Mike, until Jesus comes, you're going to have a job. And that's really yes, true. That's you know, so true. He will have a job until Jesus comes back, you know, and everything. And yeah. so it just, yeah.
Well, Ron, I hadn't really decided to touch on this, but I think it might be a good thing.
Sure.
Before we went on the air, we were just chatting about a tragedy that happened down your way.
Sure.
Today and
yeah, that was it was in Benton, Kentucky at Marshall County High School, and it's all over the news, so it's not anything. It's not public. They had tragically. Two students were killed, and they had many more injured, at least 12, maybe more. And the school is really going through the ringer at this point. Obviously, they're just pretty much just kind of getting it to settle in more than anything else. Really, the challenge is going to be a week or two or 3 months down the road. That's when it's really going to be the challenge. And we have a couple of volunteers there in that area, so we are reaching out with therapy dogs in that area. So if your folks, when they hear this, you know, they can still pray for it, even though they may hear it a week or two later. It is still going to be very fresh on their minds. And these kids' lives are changed forever, you know, on this thing. These kids' lives are changed forever. So pray for them.
Yes, absolutely pray for them. Let's do that right now. Father,
okay.
I want to lift up these families that have suffered this tragedy, this school system. The kids went to school this morning. The last thing on their mind was that some of their classmates were going to slip into eternity. So, Father, I pray that you would comfort these families as only you can. I pray, Father, that you would bring a clarity of vision and understanding, that folks wouldn't start pointing fingers and blaming things, but they would understand it is the nature of mankind. Sin is a real part of our experience, and only through turning, through confession and repentance and turning to Christ, can we understand that fully. And so I pray, Father, that this tragedy, that it would not go to naught, Father, that you would use it to bring people to faith in Christ. And Lord, I pray for those responders that will be there, perhaps even some Canine for Christ volunteers that will be there with their dogs. And I pray, Father, that you would use them to minister to these broken hearts. We thank you for that, Lord. And we ask it in Jesus' name.
Amen. Yeah, well, that's neat. Well, I've often heard it said. Somebody once told me, "Don't tell me I have a friend in Jesus till I know I have a friend in you." And that's really true. You know, we have to show them the light of Christ in our own life before they can see a God they cannot see. You yes. know, and everything. And yeah. so, yeah, do that. Yeah. Amen. Amen.
So you told me that you're going to be heading for a meeting soon of the board and.
Yep, the board meeting. We have about 12 of us that is on the board, and I'm the only one outside of Tampa that is on the board. The rest of them are local, but Larry and I got to know each other in the early onset of the ministry, so he had me on the board, and we're going to be going over the budget, and some exciting things are really happening. We've got so many volunteers that are coming forward now, and we've got volunteers that want to really serve the Lord, and it's been really neat. I'm a national trainer and trauma response chaplain with Canines for Christ, and I've gone through the training and everything, and so I actually get to train these volunteers to go be warriors of the cross, and I tell you, that's something I've dreamed of my whole life, and God's allowed me to do it now, so I'm excited to be with these volunteers that just love Jesus and love people and love their animals.
Yes, know? Amen. Now, and if folks want to support the ministry financially,
they could go directly to Canines for Christ. So Larry ran up the chaplains. He graciously takes care of me if he sends me somewhere. He takes care of my finances. So I encourage people to send it directly, and they can go online. There's a post office box there. They can see everything is 501c3, so they'll be able to get a tax-deductible receipt and everything like that. And, you know, it's and it's, like I said, he has his own, you know, place of taxes and everything on there, too, so they'll be able to fill that out. So, yeah, they can go on there and support us. We have some great supporters that allow us to do what we can do, and some of them don't even have dogs. They just want to support us, you know, and everything. And so we thank God for that.
Amen. Amen. So K, letter K, 9, for Christ.
For Christ. Yes. org, and they can go right there, and they can find out all the information. They'll say getting involved, and there'll be a volunteer application. They can actually print it off if they want to, or they can fill it out online, and they can go in there. As you saw on the website, there is a little cost, but they'll find out about that when they go online. I like them to be able to read it first, everything yes. like that, yeah. and find out what they're getting involved. But it's very, very reasonable, and we've got like I said, in Lithuania, Africa, South Africa, we have about 6 volunteers overseas that are just serving the Lord and just telling people about Jesus. So it's yeah. just it's been really neat. So I'm excited. I'm excited about the future. Where I tell people, our Canines for Christ is as bright as the promises of God, and so we're just excited about God doing it. And as far as we know, we're one of the only major organizations out there that is doing this with dogs, as far as sharing the gospel with what we're doing. So it's kind of a unique niche that we've been able to get involved in, and the Lord has just blessed it and just is allowing the secret to get out now. So you know, we're excited yeah. about that.
Well, it's actually given me some food for thought as well, Ron. We have a nursing home ministry that we're engaged in a couple of weeks.
And there may be people in your church that are saying, I can do this, you know, and everything.
Exactly.
And they can email me directly too. I'll go on and give that if you don't mind.
Yes,
it's
please.
In Christ Alone 2004 at Comcast.net. That's in Christ Alone 2004 at Comcast.net. It's on the website too. But they can email me directly, and I can get them any answers. But if they go to the website, they can get as quick as answers as they could with me. So, it would be great. That's all Larry done. Larry has a very wonderful wife, Susan, that is talented in this area, and she's able to kind of get this stuff out. So it's
yes.
good.
Yeah. Yeah, and I just want to mention that again, folks. If you're out there and you're involved in any kind of outreach ministry at your church, then consider bringing in Canines for Christ, volunteering yourself, being a part of what
Amen.
This organization is doing to touch people's lives. I'm sure that nursing homes in your area, probably even hospitals, would welcome you in with your dog and just to minister to the folks that are there.
Yeah, and just to mention real quick that once they do join, they get their own, they get the Canines for Christ vest, they get the business cards with their dog's picture on it, and they get brochures and different things like that when they do join. So they have an opportunity, they get 250 business cards of their own to be able to pass out and everything too.
Perfect. So, there's a little bit of instruction that goes with it, and of
yeah.
course certification and those kinds of things, and then you have an organization behind you, folks. Canines for Christ behind you. So, I think that says a lot.
Amen. It does, and we have some very good people that are board members, very godly people. I know all of them, obviously, and they are just very, very godly, have walked with God for a long time. And it's just, it's really neat just to be involved with those people out there. It really is, and stuff like that. I didn't think in my wildest dreams, Brother, it would ever get this big, but it did. It just, the Lord, actually, 2 years ago, it just took off.
Yes.
And so it's just great. And I appreciate you giving us the opportunity. It sounds like you're on a lot of radio stations there. So amen.
Stuff. The Lord has blessed as we agree where God guides, God provides, right?
Amen. Amen. That's exactly true and stuff like that. And then you've got your church to to back you up on this, and it's a wonderful thing of what God is doing out there and stuff like that. And you know, it's so neat, isn't it, brother, to get out of our own little room and find out what God is doing in the world.
Well, you know, Ron, that is so true. And so let's follow that thread for just a moment.
The
folks that I have the blessing to be in community with, be part of the body of Christ, and to shepherd and to encourage, and they're very accustomed to me using this phrase, holy huddle, and I use it in the context that, folks, listen, living for Christ is so much more than our holy huddle.
Oh, yeah. The late Dr. Adrian Rogers used to say, it's getting off your blessed assurance.
That's right.
And everything, because, yes, we can be secure in our salvation and know that we're on our way to heaven. But once we do know we're on our way to heaven, let's let others know if they're on their way to heaven too.
Yes. Amen.
I always tell people that if you get saved and 5 minutes later you know John 3:16, you can lead somebody to Jesus.
Amen. You know? That's so true. Yes. Well, and I always tell people, Ron, that's why the Lord left us here, right? I mean,
amen. Amen. And yes, I was very fortunate. I shared my mother and father came to know Christ a year before I was born, and at 10 years old, through child evangelism, I embraced the faith and everything, and and I know that you enjoy seeing that in your own church when children come to know Jesus.
Amen.
I mean, it's just, oh, you know, they got their whole life ahead of you, I talked to some guys with one time when I was at Calvary Chapel. All these guys would come up, well, I've been on drugs, done this. But a lot of them would come up to me and said, man, I wish I had a testimony like you, Ron. They said, what do you mean? Man, you didn't have to do all this junk, you know?
Yeah, that's right.
He said, some of us are still halfway strung on drugs, you know? So that's just, but it's just neat to see, you know, God just save, whether he saves you at 10 or whether he saves you at 25, it cost him no less to either save you or that person, you know, and everything. And
amen.
So it's just it's really neat. But anyway, so that's neat. Now, did you grow up in California yourself?
I did not. I'm native here to Ohio, and my story is that I was in fact in a Southern Baptist church, and our oldest children were in high school. Freshman and then junior high, the two oldest, and we had a young couple come to the area, and they were directors of the area Youth for Christ.
And so, oh, wow.
So I was introduced to them, and because we were interested in getting something started in the town that I lived in, there was no youth organization like that, and so we became very good friends, even though they were, you know, 10 years younger than my wife Kathy and I. And then through that relationship, my daughters came up through high school and was very involved in that. And what a blessing that was. But we maintained that friendship over the years, and they eventually left this area, and he became a youth pastor at a Calvary Chapel. Now, that was my introduction to Calvary Chapels, because I wasn't really familiar with them. So we would visit with them a couple of times a year, and I would go, and I loved the teaching, you know, the expository chapter by chapter, verse by verse.
Amen. That's what Chuck Smith did that,
Yeah, exactly. Wasn't too keen on the music. I was, you know, I'm in a Southern Baptist church. We're singing.
Yeah, you're more the thing. Well, you know that back in the 70s during the Jesus movement, when really the Calvary Chapels was birthed, you know, there was these guys, Barry McGuire, Larry Norman, all those guys. I mean, they had gotten saved, and they were off the four walls, and Chuck kind of brought them in and brought them balance of where they were. See, and that's why that Barry McGuire and these guys are still walking with God today.
Amen.
Because they got balanced in their teaching into the Word of God. I mean, they still had the excitement, but at the same time, Chuck says, you know, let me show you a more excellent way. So that's kind of what happened. And praise the Lord. I mean, I grew up, and you probably did too, during the years of the Thief in the Night series and all that, you know, and stuff. And so it was back in that Jesus movement. And God did a lot during that Jesus movement. I said, you know, there was a great revival. It was probably one of the greatest revivals since the Second Great Awakening, you know, and stuff that happened in the Jesus movement. I mean, it was just people were getting saved everywhere, you know. So it was just it was really neat. And so did you get saved at a young age or not?
I didn't, statistically. Now, you know, I'm just celebrated my 62nd birthday.
Okay.
So, but I was saved when I was 27. So
okay.
Some people say, well, that's still young. And it's like, well, statistics yeah. say that if you get past 22, 23, the odds.
Oh, yeah. Well, actually, Josh McDowell has said that, most people will get saved between the ages of 8 and 14. I mean, yes, they really will. That's statistically where you're there. So it's exactly. just, yeah, it is great to get saved when you're older, and God can save you anytime he wants to, but yes. your heart is much more pliable when you're younger than it is when yes. you're older. Yeah. So it's just,
that's
yeah.
for sure.
Oh, that's neat. That's neat. Well, that's, yeah, that is. And you've been pastor of this church how long? Plant.
I've been here. We're celebrating 13 years. First.
Did you plant it or what? You planted
the
church?
Yep, I did.
Okay, yeah. okay. So you planted the church. Wow,
planted this
that's
one,
neat.
And, yeah, the Lord blessed us to be able to plant. We planted a church in a city about 30 miles south of here, and we're there for 4.5 years, and the Lord
wow.
brought us on, and then we came back into the area. And some folks approached us about planting one in the city we're in now. And
that is so neat.
Yeah, it is. So we've had that blessed experience twice.
Amen. Yes. Amen. Yeah. Yeah, it's been really it's really good. God has blessed the Calvary Chapels over the years. They were started on good ground and they stayed on good ground, and so it's been really really good. The senior pastor, he took Chuck's place, didn't he? Is that right?
He did. Yeah, his son-in-law. I'm sorry, son-in-law Brian Broderson became.
Yeah, that's right. I didn't know that. His son-in-law. Yeah, I heard he's doing a great job. I heard he's doing a good job out
yeah,
there.
Well,
but
yeah,
and Mike's been at Horizon forever. You
yeah,
know and stuff.
Yeah.
He's been there. Did you ever know Mike or not?
I did, and now he's retired. But he's still.
Oh, is Mike retired?
Yeah, he's still very active, though. He does a lot with missions.
But he's. Did his son take over for him or what?
I believe he did, yes.
Okay. Well, sure. Because, I mean, Horizon is still meeting on that campus down there.
Oh,
I think,
yeah.
Great. Then you got Bentley, who is down there in the Mirror Mesa area, you know, and stuff
right.
like that.
Yeah,
tremendous
yeah,
guy.
Yeah,
so it's just. Yeah. Yeah, so many great men and women that are coming out of this movement, you know, and everything. It's just really great. So it just, but so it's good. Well, that's pretty much our story with Canines for Christ. So it's just, but I'm excited about what God is doing through this. And we start to travel more now in the springtime. We get a lot of churches. I don't know if you ever heard of the Awana program or anything, we're actually getting invited to some Awana
really?
Clubs
okay.
and everything. So we'll be doing that. Yeah. So it just do y'all pretty much just have your own independent children's thing or what?
We do. Yeah. Yeah,
yeah. So it just—I mean, all of them are good. You know, the gospel is the gospel. So
yes,
it just,
right.
you know, it's getting the gospel. We in the Southern Baptists are RAs and GAs. You know,
yes,
and stuff.
Right.
We did that a lot. And stuff like that.
Yeah.
Now, how many members were your Southern Baptist church that you were at?
We were about 200, which
for
this area was really a good sized church.
Oh yeah, it's strong if it's in that area. Yeah, and stuff. Yeah. I was in training once in New England, and if they had a church of 300, that was mega down there, you
yes.
know, and stuff like that. So
yes.
it just now you go. There's another Southern Baptist church that actually Larry Randolph that belongs to called Idlewild. I don't know if you ever heard of Ken Whitten, who's the pastor
yeah,
down there.
That sounds familiar. Yeah.
Yeah, 19,000 members and everything.
Oh,
it's big. And then you've got a guy named David Uth, who took Jim Henry's place, First Baptist Orlando,
yeah.
and so it just, you know, it's just you get some big churches down there in Florida.
Yeah.
But what's been neat is the Florida Baptist Disaster Relief has officially endorsed our ministry down there.
Oh, really?
So it's
that's
been
huge.
Really good. Yeah, that's been a huge,
oh,
huge blessing because most of our volunteers are in Florida. I mean, you know, you've got 750 and probably 500 of them are in Florida,
noticed,
you know, or 450
that.
Of them.
Yes.
Yeah, it's just that's just the way it is because you know that's where the ministry's found and it will always be bigger down there. But we're hoping to grow, you know, which just it's just getting people thinking in the right direction of doing it. Like I said, just about a year ago I started taking over the kind of the advertisement of the ministry, getting it out there, and I do it full time. I'm retired military, my wife has allowed me to do this. She makes money for us to do this. Makes very good at Lifeway, and so I'm able to do this full time now. So it's just been it's been fun. I kid people around. I'm more closer to Molly than I am my own wife, you know. So it's just but it's really neat. We've been married just to a little over 20. It'll be 23 years in April and everything like that. So we waited till we were 37, 36 to get married. I saw so many people get divorced in the military. I said, no, not me. So, yes. Now, were you married to your wife when you got saved?
I was, yes.
You were? Okay. And so, was she already saved or what? Already knew the Lord?
No, neither one of us were. And she.
Wow. So y'all weren't even religious. Y'all just came to know Christ.
Here's a real brief testimony. We were dating. In fact, I had just got out of the military. We were dating, and the Lord just started working me over, Ron. My conscience just wouldn't let me continue to live that life. And I told Kathy, I said, we've got to do something. I think God's calling me. And
she said, God's doing what?
She said,
it was like Greek to her, you know.
Her response was, what's her name?
That is so funny.
Oh, I'm serious. And so she took me up on that. She said, well, I'll tell you what. This is like November, just before Thanksgiving. She said, I'll tell you what. If you're serious, because we were living together, and I said, I can't do this anymore.
Yeah, I understand, and not really even thinking about it.
And then the Lord got a hold of me, and I said, we can't do this anymore. And she said, and this, like I said, it's for Thanksgiving. I moved back with my parents, and she said, well, I'll tell you what. I said, she said, how about if we just start going to church together then, first of the year?
Yeah.
And, you know, she's calling my bluff, she thought. And so we started going to church, and lo and behold,
y'all both got saved.
We both got saved.
And then you got married. You know, it's so funny. It's I have people that have lived together before and came to know Christ as they were living together. And all of a sudden, they just moved out. They said, it's just something we knew we had to do. You know, it's like, you know, it's the Holy Spirit has a way. My dad was a good old Southern boy. My spiritual granddad, who's in heaven today, used to just come by the house and share Christ with them. And they were going to a Cumberland Presbyterian church, so they were not hearing the gospel. You know, they were hearing about the good life, you know, and everything. And so my dad said, I was just a good old Southern boy on my way to hell, you know, and everything. And but finally my dad said, Ron, I can't tell you the exact prayer I prayed to receive Christ, but I can tell you within a 6-month period, once I was blind, now I see.
Amen.
And he just said that one day he just looked up in the sky and said, God, I believe it all. And the reason he knew, my dad was an avid gambler. He was a golfer. At 70 years old, he was still shooting a 69 on 18. Stuff. I mean, it was his stuff. He was, you know, that good. So he could win on the golf course. He could gamble and win. So, you know, Dad went out just on Saturday like he always did and started gambling. And something inside him says, Jimmy, you shouldn't really be doing this. He said, what's that speaking inside me? There ain't nothing ever spoken inside me before. Well, it was the Holy Spirit that had moved in and taken residence, you know, and stuff like that. And my mother was the same way. My mother would smoke. My mother smoked 4 to 5 packs of cigarettes sometime a day, you know, and she was a chain smoker.
Yeah.
And one day, after she got saved, she started teaching a Sunday school class, and people kept telling her, Betty, you need to quit smoking. And one lady told her, said, ma'am, said, Betty, when the Holy Spirit wants you to quit, you'll quit, you know, if you're obedient to Him. And so she just one day was in a restaurant, and the Holy Spirit gently told her, said, Betty, if you were teaching a class and a kid saw you smoke, that wouldn't be a very good testimony, would it? She goes, well, no, Lord, but I don't know how to give it up. He goes, don't worry, I'll help you. And so the next day she woke up and put a cigarette in her mouth out of habit. Her mouth went in like a prune. She put it out and never smoked a cigarette.
Amen.
You know, so I mean, it was just, and that was 50 years before she died. So it just, both my parents are home with Jesus now.
Amen.
So it just, mom died of Alzheimer's, and dad just went to sleep and went to be with Jesus.
Amen.
So it's just, you know, but, But they knew the Lord. I mean, it's just, it's a changed life, you know. And I mean, prayer, don't get me wrong, I believe in prayer, but that prayer exactly can come in many forms,
right,
you know, and everything.
That's
and
exactly
you can,
right.
You probably had people in your church that just understood it and said,
yes.
I believe it all,
I believe
you know,
it. Yeah.
And came to know Christ. There wasn't no great running down the aisle, falling and repenting and everything. They just believed it all and God changed their life, you know,
yeah,
and everything.
And
so repentance is just changing your mind. It's just going a different direction.
Yes.
You know, and stuff like that. It's not, and repentance can be progression. I mean, one time I bumped into, when I was at a meeting, I bumped into John MacArthur once and everything there. And he said, well, come on, walk with me. You know, and I did. And I said, John, there's been a kind of a question about your book, you know, The Gospel According to Jesus, you know,
yes.
and everything like that. He said, well, Ron, dogs bark, cats meow, Christians need to act like Christians. And you know he's right.
Yes, that's true.
He said, I understand if you got problems. He said, we have a whole counseling department for that.
Yeah.
But he said, if there is your life with no change, he said, there's got to be something right. He said, if there is no fruit, there has never been a root. And so, and I'm not saying works save you, but a saving faith will produce good works,
right.
you know, and everything.
Amen.
And so it's just, you know, I just look at it that way. I mean, when I got saved, did I understand what lordship meant at 10 years old? Heck no.
No.
But at 17, I responded in obedience to what God had already planted in my heart, you know, and everything.
Amen.
And so it's just, so anyway, then, so I grew up in good roots. I was, you know, fortunate to have a mom and dad that never really had a backsliding time. It was always living for Jesus and
Amen.
Everything. It was always
what
living
a,
for Jesus.
What a tremendous
so it just,
blessing.
Yeah, and they're home now, you know, kicking up gold dust with all the great saints up there, you know, Dr. Rogers, James Kennedy, you know.
Yes.
So it just, now, did you ever visit California? Did you ever go out there and visit or what? Did y'all go out there?
Yeah. I was out there for one of the senior pastor conferences.
Man, I bet that was fun.
Oh, it was. It was a lot of fun.
It is. I know what you mean. I'm kind of glad to be from the Bible Belt here, you know, except the only thing with the Bible Belt, you just have to get people. Sometimes you have to get them unsaved before they're saved, you know, and stuff. It's like I wrote a track when I went to Bob Jones University for a couple of years in school and everything like that. And I wrote a track called To My Mormon Friend with Love. And I used to always tell people, you know, I says, you got to get a Mormon unsaved before you can get him saved.
Yes.
You know, he already thinks
true.
He's saved. He already, you know,
right.
you mention those words and that don't even mean a thing to him, you know.
That's right.
So, right. But you have a pretty strong Calvary Chapel out there in Salt Lake City. And
yes,
everything.
Yes,
it's it runs a couple hundred people, I believe, something like that. It's a pretty good church
right.
out there.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
talked to some of the pastors and I've referred people to them, some Mormons.
Have you ever met the guy that I've forgotten his name? He does the prophecy update. Tom Hughes, stuff like that. He's a good guy, man. I tell you, I like Tom. He knows what he's doing. When something big happens, he'll have an hour presentation next day on it, you know.
See,
he does a great job.
Making guy, I work a full time job to support me and my wife. So,
oh, do you? What do you do full time?
I'm a procurement manager for a crude oil refinery.
Oh man. Well, that's at least you get a thing. You know, you probably would love to be pastoring full time, but you're probably happy now with what you do.
Oh, yeah. Well,
so
I've always
just,
worked, so I don't know the you know, and I'm not really pursuing it. It's
You got your weekends off and any vacation days you need and everything, and so it just it doesn't do it. So it just that's neat. Well, like I said, I was 20 years active. I was in the food service industry a lot too, and so I did that. But then finally in 2004, I decided to call it quits. My wife loved it because I turned 60 and I was able to draw my money about a year ago.
Yeah,
so she was excited about that. So it just, but she works for Lifeway. I think you guys have a Lifeway out there close to you somewhere, don't you? Y'all have one in there.
I know there's one.
Somewhere in that area and everything. And I look forward to hearing it and everything. It's so funny because this is probably my 30th radio interview that I've done over about a 7-year period.
Oh, okay.
And Molly's been on 7 TV shows. And I tell people around, kidding around, Molly looks at me now, my therapy dog, and says, talk to my agent. So she don't do it. But I figure that as much press as we can get, it brings glory to the one
Amen.
Who deserves it all. And
Amen.
So I just assume just doing out there, I wake up each day and some people say, what do you do? And I go in and minister a lot with Molly, but they go, what do you do each day, Ron? I said, I just go on the internet and look for crisis, see what's happened. But you do, the Bible's called us to be salt and light in a world that needs us, you know, and, you know, whether that is doing what I'm doing or doing what you're doing, I said, the Lord works with individuals. He works corporately with the body of Christ, but ultimately he works with individuals, you know, and everything. Yeah. And I said that God, you know, you only come to the cross one at a time and you only serve him one at a time. So, you know, it's, you have to be obedient to him. I said, God will always honor an obedient heart. Yeah. And so we're just excited the way God has just opened up these doors, and we get to see people in heaven. It's like Larry said, until we get to the shores, we're not going to know what God did with this ministry. We just aren't going to know it, you know, and stuff like that. Yep. But God keeps the record books. So,
hallelujah.
So I'm excited. That. Well, brother, real quick before we go, why don't I have a word of prayer for you that God will bless you and use you and everything.
Thank you.
Father, I thank you for my brother in Christ right here, God. I pray that you will use him in a mighty way. I pray you'll continue to anoint him with your spirit. I pray that as he preaches in church on Sunday, that the gospel will always be made very clear to people so it will be easy for them to come to know Jesus. And God, at the same time, for the Christians that know you, I pray that they'll get serious about their life and saying, what I do now is going to affect me 1,000 years from now when I stand before the bema seat of Christ. So God, I just pray that you will just be with the work there, be with the radio program as it goes out, not only my program, but others that are going to go out, that people, first off, will say an eternal yes to Jesus Christ, and the second, that they'll want to walk with him and be faithful to the one who has called them, because, Lord, salvation is free, but it was never cheap. It cost you everything you had, and help us to realize that in Jesus' precious name.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you, my brother. Well, let's stay in touch and about what's going on with your work. And if anybody there wants to volunteer actually in your church, let me know and I'll get them started on it. Everything like that.
All right. God
bless you. Sounds good, man.
Thank you so much.
See you, my brother.
Okay.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Soaring Eagle Radio is a production of Transforming Word Ministries and is released under Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives 4.0 International License. You may subscribe to the show on iTunes. Follow us on Facebook, where you can discuss this episode, and follow Soaring Eagle Radio on Twitter at Soaring Eagle Rad, and listen to every episode from our website, www.soaringeagleradio.com. The opening audio montage collection was created by Micah 68 Productions. Visit them on the internet at www.mika68.com for more information. Friends, remember the Apostle Paul's admonition to the believers meeting in Rome. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. I'm your host, Mike Spaulding. Thank you for joining us today for this edition of Soaring Eagle Radio.
Thanks for tuning in today to the Soaring Eagle Radio program. For more information about the show, write us at Soaring Eagle Radio, 682 West Grand Avenue, Lima, Ohio, 45801. You may also contact Mike directly by email at the following address, PastorMike@woh.rr.com. God bless you today as you seek him.